I know. Your budget is always under pressure. There's never quite enough money to go around, is there? So let me ask you this. If you had the opportunity, how would you explain that financial reality of yours to a mother somewhere in the developing world whose child has just died of malnutrition? What words would you choose? Exactly what would you say to her if you came face to face with her? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Perspective. As early as I can remember back as a child, my parents taught me to save. You see, they were immigrants from Europe after World War II, and they remembered what it was like to be hungry. They wanted better for their kids, so they taught us to save. From the earliest days of my piggy bank through to my first bank account, through to my first house. Now, don't get me wrong, saving is good, but when does saving become hoarding? When does something good turn into something bad? At what point do we cross the line? Is it good for me to save for the latest model car when my current one will do perfectly well for another 3 years, and at the same time, there are kids dying from starvation every 3.5 seconds? Ooh, it's a confronting question. What an uncomfortable question. But you know something? That is exactly the question that I believe God wants us to ask in our hearts today. When is enough enough? I have a good friend who's done a lot for the poor over the years, and I often hear him talking about the economics of enough. Can I share something radical with you today? In fact, two radical things. The first one of them is this. God wants to bless our socks off, yours and mine. Jesus said that. He said, the thief, the devil, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you may have life in all of its abundance. Actually, the word he used was super abundantly, but we just don't have a word in the English that translates that. It was a really over-the-top kind of comment. The other day on the program, we looked at God's heart for his people, to bless them, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8. The Lord will command his blessing upon you in your barns, and in all that you undertake, he will bless you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. God went to bless them in their barns. God wanted them to have enough food to eat. He wants us to have enough. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In fact, he wants us to have more than enough. Joel chapter 2, verse 24 says this, the threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vats will overflow with wine and oil. Question is, what should you and I do with that overflow? I'm going to take you to a passage today. This passage is about the heart of God. It's kind of really, really practical, but it's about the overflow. It's about God's abundance mentality and the abundance mentality he wants us to have. If you've got a Bible, grab it. Deuteronomy chapter 24, beginning at verse 17. This is the law for the nation of Israel. This is what God says. You will not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You will not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field, and you forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left there for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, don't strip what's left. It shall be left there for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, don't glean what is left. It shall be left there for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you were once a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. Now, isn't that interesting? You see, technically speaking, if someone comes into my land and steals some of my fruit, they're stealing. But God's saying here, look, I have blessed you. I was the one that brought you out of your slavery. Remember, every good thing that you have comes from me. Now that I am blessing you in abundance, leave the overflow. Use it to bless other people. Look after the poor for me. And then he gives them four practical things that they can do. Now remember, this is the law of Israel. There's nothing overly spiritual in this. This is very practical about food for the poor. God's law for God's people, the four practical things that they can do is, firstly, not insisting on their legal rights when it comes to the poor. You know, don't take the widow's garment as a pledge. Secondly, leaving a sheaf of grain in the field. And thirdly, leaving some olive trees on your trees. And fourthly, leaving some grapes in the vineyard. In other words, let my blessing to you overflow into the lives of the poor. Because remember, you were once a slave in Egypt. I brought you out of that slavery. That's why I'm commanding you to do this. Now, look at this. This is not some optional extra. It's not just kind of throwing some loose change. This is a command. I've blessed you in order for you to use that overflow of blessing in the lives of other people. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 writes it this way, "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight." Let me tell you the two things that wealthy people do that stop them from overflowing the blessing of God into the lives of the poor. And by wealthy, I mean anyone who has just enough to get by. Roof over their head, food to eat, water to drink, clothing. Because by any global standard, if you have those things, that puts you in the wealthiest few percent of people on this planet. The first thing the wealthy do is they hoard. They behave as though there's going to be no tomorrow, that there's not going to be enough. I can't possibly leave that overflow for the poor, because I might need it. But God says, when you reap the harvest in your field and you forget a sheaf in your field, you won't go back to get it. You'll leave it there for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in your undertakings. God blesses us when we give to the poor. The second thing we do is we kind of look at all this global poverty and we go, well, you know, there's 4.4 billion people who don't have enough food to eat. 4.4 billion people, billion, living in squalor. Well, I can't do anything about that. That's too big. That's beyond me. So my response, well, I'll go back to step one. I'll look after myself. I'll hoard for myself. Listen to me, you who call yourselves after God's own name, listen to me today. This is not an option that God gives to you and me. Go back to the passage we just read. Maybe my wheat and my olives and my grapes are not going to change the world, but if we all overflow the blessing of God into the lives of the poor, it will. Listen to Psalm 41. "Happy are those who consider the poor, for the Lord delivers them in their day of trouble." But, Proverbs 21:13, "If you close your ear to the cry of the poor, you will cry out and your cry will not be heard." Let me ask you something. What are the three or four practical things that you can do to give to the poor? Okay, it's a global problem. It needs global solutions. Absolutely. You have the Bonos of this world and the world visions and the Micah challenges and the compassions. So many of God's people working on this. But they need you and me to support them. They need you and me to get behind them. What can you do? What can I do? Because I'll tell you something, we just can't sit there. People are dying. Sitting there is not an option. Yeah, it's tough stuff, and I'd love to help you along on this journey by sharing more of this teaching with you. Have you ever found yourself changing channels during the evening news on television when they show poor and starving people in refugee camps? See, we want to hide from the problem. But with all my heart, this week, I just felt we have to talk about it. So if you'd like to listen to the other messages in this series, I've called it More Than Enough, then hop onto our website, ChristianityWorks.com, and click on the A Different Perspective link towards the bottom of the homepage. Once again, the series is called More Than Enough, and you can now share your thoughts and comments on each program episode with the rest of us. The Lord bless you as you share what He's given you with the poor and the needy. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with another episode of A Different Perspective.